Big weekend for the Tar Heel sports teams in general. Mentioned already that UNC is going to the Russell Athletic Bowl. Big win last night for the Tar Heel basketball team by 33 points over a Davidson team that looked really good and actually still looks really good on paper. That is a team that put up a whole bunch of points against their previous opponents. Tar Heels held them to 65. So they're up to number 3 in the national polls, both AP and coaches. Tar Heel football team still in the top 10. Missing out on a Peach Bowl bid, but getting a good bowl on the 29th in Orlando, Florida. They'll be taking on Baylor. So good weekend all around for Tar Heel sports. We're joined now by Deb Stroman, professor at the UNC Keenan Flagler Business School, expert on sports analytics and expert on sports in general. Dr. Stroman, thanks for joining us. What do you make of UNC's bowl bid? No Peach Bowl, but a pretty good bowl at the end.
Absolutely. I'm so excited for the Tar Heels. What a way to win the regular season, get the Coastal Championship, and now get to play in the Russell Athletic Bowl on December 29th versus Baylor. And my research shows that the Russell Athletic actually has been around for a number of years, and it's just gone through a number of name changes. But it is designed to pit the top ACC team outside of the college football playoff versus the Big 12's number 2 team. And last year, Clemson beat Oklahoma in that game. So everybody in the Tar Heel Nation should be very, very happy with this bid. We're going to bring in a lot of money. It pays about $2.275 million. Now, it's not a New Year's Day bowl, but still, it's very, very prominent, and it's a big win for the ACC in Carolina.
Yeah, I was looking at the history of this bowl. It used to be the Blockbuster Bowl, right? That's how it got its start?
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking it was the Florida Citrus Bowl originally because it's held in the Florida Citrus Bowl, but that's actually a different bowl that now has a completely different name. It's kind of hard to keep track of this all.
Well, that brings up the subject of all of these bowls and what's going on. You know, originally we talked about having a football playoff that would come at the expense of other bowls, and that is completely a joke. We've got more bowls than we've ever had. I think it started out with, I think there were about 18 bowls in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
Then a decade later, it moved up to 28, and now we've got 40. And they're expected to add even more next year.
And that's with teams this year that, I mean, they don't even have enough teams that are bowl eligible, so they're filling them with teams that are 5 and 7, and I'm just looking down at the list of all of the amazing bowls that are coming up later on this month. You got the Auto Nation Cure Bowl, you got the Quick Lane Bowl, Minnesota's 5 and 7, they're going to be competing in that. You've got Tulsa and Virginia Tech and the Camping World Independence Bowl, which is notable only for the fact that it's no longer the Weed Eater Independence Bowl, and it just keeps going on from there.
Well, there are about 128 teams in the football bowl subdivision, which means only about a third are going to miss out on all the nice swag that you get, everything from headphones and sunglasses and watches and electronic equipment and all of that. But what happened was they basically ran out of teams. So they made it like a special rule, the NCAA did this season, saying that if you have a decent academic progress rate, which is basically the NCAA's metric for measuring retention rates and eligibility of a team, if you have the best, if you're among the 5 highest scores in your division, then you basically earn the privilege of playing in the postseason. So we have a number of teams, in fact, more than a dozen teams with records of 500 or less that will be in a bowl. So, you know, the big fun is that universities and presidents love having this type of atmosphere where they can take donors, mm-hmm. and you can also showcase your university. There's nothing like being in the top bowl, though, because then you get that national exposure, and there's nothing else that gives you that. And so that's why university presidents, university leaders, who are the makeup of the NCAA, they're the ones who decide, let's just keep making bowls.
And again, we're speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, UNC Keenan Flagler Business School. We've always talked about the behind-the-scenes motivations that drive decisions on the field. And obviously, when it comes to bowl season, it's very much all about the money. So is there any disincentive to keep creating new bowl games? Is there any threat of oversaturation or anything like that? Or is it just if you follow the money, it's fine to have the Auto Nation Cure Bowl because people are benefiting and no one's being hurt?
Well, I don't really think there's a downside. If you think about from the athlete's perspective, though, if and we're talking about top players, right? So they all have their goals of going to the NFL and beyond. And so it gives them additional practices. I think there's about 15 practices that can be added on with all of these bowls. And so from an athlete perspective, you might say, well, you're taking time away from class or extracurricular activities. You're breaking down my body sooner. But you know, if you interview, I would say 99% of the young men, they would love to get this extra opportunity. So in that regard, it's a benefit. From the academic perspective, yes, you can argue, when are these practices taking place? Are you leaving your university during key times when you could possibly miss a lecture or some type of classroom activity? But now, with technology and with the size of the staff, you can bring academic people with you on these trips. You can do lots of things online. You can be creative there. From the leadership perspective, it has to be a win because you're getting exposure for your university and you're getting a great opportunity to have those one-on-one conversations with key donors to ask for more money. So, you know, I think sometimes the perspective is such that the entire university is really participating in the bowls and is shutting down a university, but that's not true. These are your most ardent sport fans that are going to go regardless. And it is a very, very small percentage of the university when you think about it. You're talking about NCAA Division I football teams having 85 scholarships, and you generally travel with about 65 or so. And so then you have to look at which students in that makeup would actually be really missing out on quality time on campus. And so hopefully we'll continue to have these reforms and discussions so that we can find the right blend. But right now, I know Carolina Tar Heel Nation is so excited to go, and I don't think anybody would turn it down.
And I think the one nice thing from the academic side, because that has got to be a definite concern, is at the very least, bowl season takes place over winter break. So you're missing maybe, and you got to work around the very end of exam week. But other than that, you've got those 2, 3, 4 weeks off.
Yes, and so, again, you're thinking about what are you doing to the young man's body in terms of physical demands on the body.
Yep.
But again, now we're supposed to be the ones that are brighter to say to the young people, I know you want to go to this bowl, I know you want to have 5 more games, but we're the ones who are looking out for your body. And again, that's another argument for we need to have more funding and more resources given to the actual kinesiology or exercise sports science so that we can make sure that we are not putting too much of a load on these young bodies.
Yeah, and I think you're right. That is definitely a bigger concern if you're talking about this. We're talking with Deb Stroman, UNC Kenan Flagler Business School. And before we move up to the pros, because I want to talk about that for a second, too, take a look at the 4 playoff teams. You got Clemson against Oklahoma. That's going to be a good one. And those 2 teams, Blake Hodge noticed yesterday when the bowl selection came out, those were the 2 teams that met in the Russell Athletic Bowl last year. So if that trend holds true, that bodes well for Carolina next year, not to mention Baylor. But you got that playoff, and then you've got my Spartans taking on Alabama in the other game in the Cotton Bowl. What do you make about those 2 games?
Well, I know there are a number of teams on the outside hoping that they would get one of those 4 slots. And I know Coach Fedora, I even heard him, I watched his mouth when at the end of the game when he was hugging Dabo Sweeney at Clemson, saying that we support you, we're going to be cheering for you. And so it's great that the ACC has a team. I do believe that the quarterback, for Clemson, he is probably the best athlete in the field. And I think with their momentum, having a great, great challenge from UNC, that they will be able to win their game. And I know Clemson travels so well, so it's really, really going to be a very, very orange stadium. In terms of the other game, I'll tell you, that Michigan State is very compelling. Mm-hmm. The way they have won the games, the excitement, they keep you on edge. Others are saying that there is no type of line like Alabama's this year. They're front 7, and no one has been able to stop their running back, Henry. So I just think that's going to be a toss-up. Probably I will go with Alabama just because of their tradition and Nick Saban in a playoff game But I would not be surprised if Michigan State were to upset them.
And East Lansing is totally geared up for this, I can tell you, because, you know, the great underlying storyline with this game is that Nick Saban actually got his first head coaching gig back at Michigan State.
That's
back
right.
In the 90s. So before he ditched LSU and before he ditched the Dolphins, he ditched the Spartans first, and we've been waiting this whole time to get back at him. We can finally do it this year.
Well, it's going to be really, really great. I'm excited. I'll be going down to the national championship, well, over to the national championship game in Phoenix. So it's going to be really great, and hopefully we'll have the Clemson Tigers there.
Nice. All right, we're speaking with Deb Stroman, UNC Keenan Flagler Business School. And Deb, before we let you go, up a level to the pros, because there's a couple unbeaten teams left, one in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors. We've talked about them. Steph Curry's still shooting lights out, and you know he's going to keep doing that. And then the other unbeaten team in the NFL, our own Carolina Panthers. They got a scare last night, but they survived.
I'll tell you, if Cam Newton is not, if he just didn't jump past Tom Brady for MVP honors, I don't know what to say. But the guy, he is just amazing. He's so calm. He's cool. He runs the ball. He throws the ball. He had five touchdowns, passing touchdowns last night. And certainly Steph Curry, you know, he's just a product of North Carolina. It's a great time to be in North Carolina if you love football. But Steph Curry, he predicted that the Warriors would actually lose a game before the Panthers. And, you know, if you play that out based on the schedule, the Panthers would be 19-0 if they continued to win and were unbeaten through the Super Bowl, whereas the Warriors would have to be 48-0 and are February unbeaten. So it's going to be very, very compelling to continue to watch both of these, and I love the connection between the Panthers and the Warriors. I know last week when the Hornets played, the Panthers, Cam Newton and some of the guys went to the game and had the chance to talk to Steph. And Steph is really helping out the Panthers because he has a lot of pictures and comments on his social media campaign regarding the Panthers. So it's just a great time.
A couple of great teams, and again, we can root on the Panthers as they get into the playoffs and still with a chance to go undefeated and be the first team since the Dolphins, what, 72 to do that?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And I also want to make sure we mention Harrison Barnes. He
yes.
is our star on the Warriors.
Yes.
And this is a big, big year for him. He's playing well. And we always knew that Harrison Barnes had the skill set. But, you know, the fundamentals that Carolina teaches, sometimes it takes a year or two before they really, really show up and shine. But he did turn down a four-year, $64 million extension in September. So he'll be a free agent in 2016, and I know he's going to be very attractive. I believe that the Warriors will continue to win. And with that, Harrison might want to leave and to get bigger contract, and maybe he'll come home to the Hornets.
One of these days, I want to be able to turn a $64 million contract down and say, you know what, now I think I can do better.
That would be nice.
All right, Dr. Deb Stroman, UNC Keenan Flagler Business School, thank you so much.
Thank you.